You're listening to Radio Influence.
You know her from network radio, but now she's on the net and in your head. This is the Fabulous Sports Babe on Radio Influence.
It's the Babecast. It's happening again. I know you're very excited, and so am I. First of all, let me just tell you something. I know it's freezing cold wherever you are, but it's even freezing in Florida. But I know if you're sitting up there and it's zero at your house, you're not really interested in me. But I got to tell you something. We're freezing our ass off in Florida. I'm just telling you that. I know if you're sitting in Chicago or Boston or sitting in someplace, you're like, what is she talking about? Tell me it's freezing down here. I will tell you that. Oh, I had things to tell you. I have to tell you something. I've decided to let you in on a secret, which is like for about 2 years I've been doing this concert thing. And frankly, I like it. I don't know why, but we did. And we go and we do these things and we play the pancake stuff and it seems to work. I don't know why. What is that that's killing me over here? And so anyway, we did this New Year's Eve thing. And I went out there and I was quite lovely. But all of a sudden there's like 115 people in this. I mean, there were like 9, I think, at one point. But there's like 115 people. And we did this, and we thought it was wonderful, and we did our things from like 6 o'clock until like 10 or something like that, and I was going to go out because they had a first night, and a friend of mine said, oh, I'm going home. I said, well, that's all right, because I'm going to go home, and then I'm going out to the beach. So we went and did this thing, but I love doing that, and we sing our little hearts out, and people jump up and down, and they like what we do, and it's kind of... I don't know what to say about it. It's just kind of weird, the whole thing. I love all of that. And by the way, we're going to talk to Russell, who we love. Russell coming to visit us, of course. Bax football guru, you know him as Russell more than anything else. But Russell Baxter is going to be with us, and we will do everything in the world with him. Do you know that that man has 160,000 tweets? I mean, what does he do? It's like, how do you have time to do all the things and come up with 160 tweets? I don't even know how that happens. But he does it. He gives us everything in the whole wide world. I have to tell you something. You know, when I was living in Connecticut, I had been here and then I was in Seattle. And I lived directly on the water. So if they had snow, it wasn't on my deck. Do you know what I mean? And if you went into Seattle, you could see a little snow running around. But we didn't see any. And then I went to Bristol, Connecticut. And when I was there, I would freak out because there was snow going up my driveway. And then I'd call up and go, well, where's the guy to come and fix it? They go, Nancy, you have a 4x4. Just go up the driveway. And I was like, oh, I forgot about that part. And, you know, I would just go into like a foot of snow and just run right up to the driveway and go into the garage. But it was so funny because I was like, oh, no, I can't do anything. And I used to call the guy and he'd go, you want me to do that? And I said, well, yeah, that's your job, you know, to come and fix that. But I remember being... I had a Ford Explorer. That's what it was. And it was quite lovely, actually. And those people were so stupid. We told them that I was going to be in, what is that road racing kind of thing? Not doing wrestling, but I was going to do the, almost like driving my car around, not backing it up and smashing into people, but I told them I was going to do that. And they were just crazy. They believe anything you said up there. They were such imbeciles. They would believe anything that you said up there. And then I was going to go into the, can I just tell you this? Jerry's getting mad because I have to finish this. But, you know, there's a couple of things in my life that I didn't do. One of was to not go down to that place in Orlando and run around in those cars that go 200 miles an hour. Richard Petty was the guy that told me to come down there. But I happen to have lived in a place where if you didn't come to work, they would kill you. Unlike other people who can go wherever they want to, I was stuck there. And the other thing that I didn't do, and I miss this more than anything else, is Stephanie and what's her name from the WWE, Vince, we will let you climb to the top of the turnbuckle and jump onto anybody you wanted to. I did not do that. Those are two very important things that I took the gas pipe on. And I should have done it at the time. Of course, they probably would have said, why aren't you at work or something at the other place? I would have figured that out. All right, let's go talk to Russell. We have things to do. Oh, and I have so much football, and I'm so excited about the football that's coming. Ooh, let's go talk to Russell. Let's talk to him on the Babecast. Listen, the first thing I want to know, Russell, are you snowed in?
Absolutely.
How much is how much? Tell me, I want to know exactly how much it is compared to where I used to be live, but please go ahead.
I would say I went out early this morning and did a little shoveling. There's got to be, right now, between 8 and 10 inches out there.
And you already did the shoveling where you weren't very good at that now, were you?
No, not at all. That's why I'm in here talking football. And if I did shoveling for a living, I'd be in a lot of trouble.
Oh, no, we wouldn't want to do that unless we had a big truck or something like that. So the
honestly, babe, it's coming down like 1 to 3 inches an hour.
You know, I liked it the first time it snowed. After that, it was fine. You know, I could watch the first snow, but after that, it was terrible. You know, it's very interesting because we used to call this a nor'easter, but now it's a bomba something or another. You can't just have a nor'easter.
Yes, and I'm sure it'll be sponsored by somebody soon. So.
That's probably a good thing. I've got things to talk to you about, and I really appreciate it. Now, first of all, tell everybody what you do, because I can say, well, you do this, and you do the Bleacher Report and all that. But you have to tell them. You do so many things. You have to tell them, first and foremost, everything you do.
Well, NFL Spin Zone and Fansided, you know, who are part of the SI.com and Time Inc. family, it's probably the biggest thing I do right now. But, you know, I also do my share of podcasts as well. I do WBLZ Sports. I also do, I want to say random websites. You know, our business fluctuates so much right now, but I'm employed by a place called The Sports Post, which I do features on mostly during the off season. Blasting News, which is kind of an international type thing, and then Elite Sports New York, which really kind of focuses on the New York teams, but I kind of do a national gig for them. So keeping as busy as possible.
You know, I'm going to talk to you about that, but let's talk to this weekend right now, because there are a couple of things that are going on that I thought, I got confused on Saturday and Sunday, because I thought Saturday was Jacksonville at the Bills, but that's really a Sunday thing, right?
That's correct. Yeah, the first game we're going to see is Tennessee at Kansas City, and then Saturday night will be Atlanta at the L.A. Rams. You know, it's funny, last time the Rams were in the playoffs was a game at the Georgia Dome against the Atlanta Falcons. They were the St. Louis Rams, and they got pounded. They haven't been, you know, the last time they hosted a playoff game, they were the St. Louis Rams in 2003 hosting the Carolina Panthers.
Wow. You know, one of the things about it is I watch this Atlanta and I see the Rams coming in. They got to go across. I don't care about that going across. I figure you should have been there Monday and not worry about it till Friday or so. But Atlanta at the Rams, I'm thinking to myself, the Rams can do this. I mean, they've been beating everybody. I think they can win this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, our last thoughts of the Rams are, of course, the, you know, them sitting a lot of people out against the San Francisco 49ers. So, I mean, you don't really get a gauge
right on
that. But, I mean, Todd Gurley's had an amazing year. You know, this was a team last year that scored 224 points. This year they've scored 478. And, you know, dare I say, if they had not sat out people and only scored 13 points on Sunday, might have hit the 500-yard mark. I mean, the 500-point mark. What's interesting about this is the Rams led the league in scoring after finishing last. The last time a team led the league in scoring and got to the Super Bowl was the Atlanta Falcons a year ago. They scored 540 points. Okay, the year before that would be, I think, the Carolina Panthers, who scored 500 points and got to the Super Bowl. But what we need to see out of the Rams is Wade Phillips' defense. Now, Wade Phillips' defense, ironically enough, was part of that Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos defense that faced the Carolina Panthers. I mean, it's a crazy playoff field this year.
You know, one of the things, we have Atlanta and the Rams, and the other one, we have Tennessee at Kansas City, and Kansas City is an 8.5-point favorite in that game, but they are at Kansas City. I don't see Tennessee winning this at all.
Well, not the way they played as of late. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Kansas City Yankees had a wild year. They were 5-0 at the beginning of the year. They were 4-0 at the end of the year. And, of course, there was a little donut called 1-6 in the middle. But, I mean, Tennessee struggled, you know, held on 15-10 against Jacksonville, had lost their previous three games. They really kind of lost their mojo on offense. You know, be interesting to see if DeMarco Murray is healthy for the weekend. But, you know, they'll have a good defensive game and the offense fails them. They'll have a good offensive game and the defense fails them. So they're not really playing in sync right now. And then Tennessee's one of those teams. You know, we have a playoff field this year, babe. You know, Tennessee hasn't been in the playoffs since 08. Jacksonville since 07. The Rams, we mentioned, 04. The Bills since 1999. You know, so think about it. We've got it kind of our, you know, teams like Pittsburgh and New England and Atlanta. And how weird is this? Atlanta is the only team in the NFC back from the playoffs a year ago.
Really? That's amazing, yeah. Isn't it?
I mean, where's Dallas? Where's the Giants? Where's Green Bay? Where's Seattle? Where's Detroit?
Well, nobody in the middle of that. We've got the other one of Carolina and New Orleans, who are also on the same division, if you will, with Atlanta and all of that. And while we're talking about that, Carolina and New Orleans is favored by 7. I don't see them losing at home. I mean, Carolina's fine, but it's not New Orleans right now, because somehow they've come back again, that New Orleans.
Well, yeah, and listen, they're a different team than we've seen in years past. And beginning of the year, you wouldn't have thought so, because, you know, they're 0-2. They give up 65 points to the Vikings and the Patriots. Then all of a sudden, they go to Carolina, and eye-opening experience. 34-13, beat the Panthers twice this year.
Yeah.
And by the way, I hear it. I can hear Jerry in the background saying, boy, but isn't it hard to beat a team 3 times in one season?
Is that,
I mean, how many times have we heard that over the years? And
well,
guess what, babe? I just want to let you know that's factually inaccurate.
And they can beat them three times. Go for it. 3 times? Go ahead.
Since the merger, there have been 20 instances where a team, this will be the 21st, there have been 20 previous incidences where a team swept the team in the regular season and then played them in the playoffs. The team that won the first 2 games is 13-7 when it comes to the third game. So the people who tell you that it's hard to beat a team 3 times in one season, they're just wrong. Of course, I always find it funny that you can beat a team can't beat a team 3 times in one season, but you can beat a team 11 times in a row.
Yeah, that's okay. Let me just tell you, I sort of waited for the last one. I am, I've been the biggest Patriots fan, so I don't care if anyone knows it or not. But I am so in love with the Bills, and the Bills are going to Jacksonville. It doesn't look good. But I just love the fact that they're there. And I was talking to a friend of mine in Buffalo 2 days ago. He said they're out of control, and it's been so long for the Buffalo Bills to be in there, and damned if they aren't in the playoffs.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. It just goes to show you how the last weekend of the regular season, because we, you know, like you see so many people try to guess, well, they're going to play this and they're going to win because the other team doesn't care. They have nothing to play for. They're going to mail it in. I mean, I don't know about you. Cincinnati put 31 on the board against Baltimore. They didn't look like they mailed it in to me.
Yeah.
And that pass to Tyler Boyd in, you know, on 4th-and-12 was the, you know, the Bills shot heard around the world, and in they come, and let's see how giddy they are, because they are playing a Jacksonville team that lost their last 2 games, and
right.
Blake Bortles kind of, you know, turnover prone again the last 2 weeks. I know they scored 33 against the 49ers, but gave up 44, and some of that was because of the mistakes. I kind of like the Bills' chances on Sunday in Jacksonville.
You know,
I mean, it's not like talking about a team that's not been to the playoffs in 10 years against one that hasn't been there in 18 years. I mean, you know, take your pick.
You know, one of the things about that is I always like my team to lose around the 13th or 14th, take the 15th and 16th, and then be in the playoffs. But I like them to lose around 13, 14. Always have like that. This team has lost 2 in a row, and they're going in here right now. And that's why I'm all over Buffalo. I don't think they're beat from it. They won. They know what happened. with the Ravens, and there they are. And I'm kind of all, and I've been, you know, I've loved Jacksonville. I thought they've done so well, but I just love the Bills. I hope they do well.
Well, listen, Jacksonville's got one of the best defensive fronts in the league, Dave. And Buffalo's got one of the better offensive fronts in the league. I mean, Buffalo can run the football. And if there is a weak, you know, what Jacksonville wants to do is get you behind, rush the pass. I mean, they had 55 sacks this year, okay? Mm-hmm. They're one of the highest scoring teams in the league, and that wasn't always offense. I mean, they put together, you know, those defensive spurts where their defense, I mean, their defense scored the only touchdown for them on Sunday against Tennessee. So if they can protect Tyrod Taylor and Tyrod Taylor can get out of the pocket and frustrate them a few times. Yeah, I mean, you know, Minnesota finished with the top-ranked defense. Jacksonville was second. Jacksonville was also first against the pass. But they were 21st against the run. And you can see sometimes being an aggressive defense, which they are, can play against you.
Well, and doesn't that happen for McCoy? I mean, don't they just hand him the ball and say, go for it? Because he can take off and go.
Well, listen, you've got to, and hopefully he can go, you know, reports are today, walking boot off.
Yeah.
You know, I find it hard to believe. And listen, LeSean McCoy is a playoff-tested running back. He could mm-hmm. very well be the difference in this game. You know, Leonard Fournette, listen, terrific rookie year and so mm-hmm. on. And Buffalo at times has shown vulnerability to the run. I mean, listen, if McCoy and Fournette are on their games, this game starts at 1:05 Eastern time and could be over by 1:55.
It would be over. That it'll be interesting to see that. I love this when I sit all day and watch this. And then we have all kinds of things that are coming up on Sunday. And let me just ask you a couple of other things, too. Let me do something. What do you find about this Gruden thing? I mean, do we just assume he's going to the Raiders and they can give? I never knew that you could give somebody who was a coach part of the team.
Well, I think you can. It just has to be approved. You know, it's like any other move that involves ownership. Would the owners actually approve it? I mean, listen, we all can't be George Halas, okay? you become the founder of the Chicago Bears. You play for them. You coach for them. You do anything the hell you want, okay?
So, yeah.
It's a different day and age. But, you know, the one thing about John Gruden going, and I hear some of the rationale of, well, he's been away from the game and, you know, and all the negatives and stuff. Listen, I worked on occasion with John Gruden when I was at ESPN. I did some drafts with him. I was with him at a Super Bowl, you know, helping him with different stuff. He doesn't need any help. Okay.
Right. Right.
When he does what he does for the draft, and when he does what he does, I mean, I think we forget he does that quarterback thing every year. I don't know what the technical name of it anymore, and I don't know who sponsors and all that. But you know, he goes down every year and he spends all those times with those quarterbacks. I think Coach Gruden is pretty much tuned into today's game more than he's being given credit for by certain people. And I know people are also throwing out the Dick Vermeil comparison, but let's not forget something, babe. Dick Vermeil, who, by the way, came back after 15 years and eventually won a Super Bowl.
Right.
Dick Vermeil left the Eagles after 1982. There was no free agency in the league. There was no salary cap in the league. He then comes back in 1997, and the NFL is upside down. John Gruden has been with two organizations, and he understands that. So I think the people just easily dismissing mm-hmm. that he could have some success, I think are shortchanging him a little. I'm not saying he's going in there and going 16-0. I'm just saying I think he's more up on the modern game than people give him credit for.
You reached the point there that people are saying, but he's been out of the game for a long time, but you're there every day. You're talking to everybody. I mean, it's what you do all week. It's not like you're sitting around like me watching TV. You know what I mean? I mean, that's what he does.
Right. And it's also the preparation he does for Monday Night Football. And again, I also think those things he does, you know, with the during the summer with the quarterbacks and you know, talking to the quarterbacks and interviewing them and so on, there's a lot to be said for that. Okay? It's not just, I mean, he's breaking down tape. This is not like an ordinary hire from a booth. I mean, John Lynch was hired to be the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, he surrounded himself with a lot of good people. he kept himself on the game. I'm sure there's still a lot of stuff that he has to learn, okay? But, you know, he's passionate about football. He understands the business of football. He understood it while he was still in television and so on. Who says you can't make the transition faster? I think the people who are opposed to John Gruden are people who just want to be opposed to John Gruden.
I would have to agree with you on that. Let me ask you, national championship, Georgia, Alabama, three of the four teams were all SEC. Do we look at that in a bad way, or we just say, oh, they're so much better in the SEC? How do you look at that?
Well, I know. I don't look at that as a bad way. You know, football is cyclical, and I think I love the idea. Again, I'm not the biggest college football expert.
Right.
But Clemson, Alabama, the last 3 years has become a rivalry. And, you know, I think rivalries and a sincere rivalry. And rivalries are always good when it comes to sports, I think. I mean, as long as they're constructive. I mean,
right.
I'm not going to say Pittsburgh-Cincinnati in the NFL has been necessarily great.
Right.
Okay? But Pittsburgh-Baltimore has been pretty good. And to this day, Dallas and Washington will always be good and so on. But I kind of like that aspect of it. I mean, babe, you know how it is.
Yeah.
If people who are opposed to certain things just want to find things. It's like the people who don't like the four-team playoff. Okay, we'll make it eight teams. And then the people who don't like eight teams would want 12. Okay? And then somebody would want 117. So, you know, some people you just can't please.
You know, one of the things, it's funny that you brought that up, but where is Cousins playing next year? I mean, he's going to free agent. Is that the deal for him?
Well, they have a decision to make, and hopefully they make the right decision and keep him, at least in my opinion. What has gone wrong with Kirk Cousins has not been his play. What has gone wrong has been the front office of the Washington Redskins. Okay? One, you will recall, because you're, always did a great job covering the Seahawks and so on. You remember the days when every year Orlando Pace from the Rams and Walter Jones from the Seahawks, what did they do? They played on those one-year franchise tags, correct?
Right,
they did that
right.
For about, I think, 3 or 4 years, okay? Well, the NFL opted to change that, okay? And what they did was they kind of put like a little poison pill, per se, in it. If you franchise a player 2 years in a row, you got to up the ante. Well, why the Washington Redskins did not get a deal done with Kirk Cousins for at least the second franchise tag, I cannot understand. So now they stand to, do they tag him again? Now, I will say this, you will also recall that, you know, Scott McLuhan was the GM in Washington last year. That wound up being a different situation. They wound up firing him just on the eve of free agency. I think that had something to do with the confusion. The Washington Redskins, to me, either, it would be unimaginable for him to play on a franchise tag, which will cost them probably over $30 million this year.
Mm.
They either get a long-term deal with him or he hits the free agent market. I don't think there's an in-between.
Well, you know, one of the things, as I look at that, I was thinking about him, and I was also thinking about, I love Carson Wentz. It was great. But this guy Foles is there, and they're going, we're going to the Super Bowl. And I go, not with Foles there. I mean, as much as I liked it and it was fun, he's, you know, Carson Wentz is gone. That's it. Foles isn't taking you anywhere. Wherever you can go, it's fine. But you're not going to the Super Bowl, whoever Foles might be.
What we found out the last couple of weeks, and to its point, when they played the Giants, and Foles threw four touchdown passes against the Giants, they were down 20-7. The Eagles have a few more holes than people realize, and a lot of them happen to be a cornerback. They give up their share of passing yards. They give up their share of touchdown passes. They're great against the run. What Carson Wentz, I think, was able to do was help them mask some of those deficiencies by putting points. I mean, case in point, they played the Rams.
Right.
They won 43-35, okay? They wound up winning a shootout. Carson Wentz enabled them to do that. Against the Giants, they got some contributions from their special teams that helped them come back and win. Remember, they blocked the PAT, they blocked the field goal,
wow.
And they blocked a punt all in the same game. That kind of got lost in the comeback. But against the Raiders and against the Cowboys, and I don't know how much you really put into the Cowboys. I mean, Foles only played like a quarter and change, and then they benched him as well.
Right.
So the Eagles need other parts of their team to perform well. Carson Wentz showed that because of his legs and because of his third down ability, he could help them out in some regards. But, you know, I think we forget the Eagles were a 7-9 football team a year ago. We have a lot of these teams this year. Buffalo was 7-9. They're in the playoffs. Jacksonville was 3-13 in the playoffs. Okay, the Rams were 4-12. The Eagles were 7-9. I mean, to a point, I mean, Carolina's what? Carolina was 6-10. Think about how many teams that had losing records last year are in the playoffs this year. And it's a different beast. So I think we elevate too fast sometimes. But that being said, this is also the, you know, this is also the NFC playoff field and the playoff field in general. So it's one of those years where we have a lot of surprises.
You know, one of the things, let me just do this for you, because I've been thinking about the Packers and I've been thinking about Indianapolis. And everybody's gone. Now they're waiting. Are we going through the Rooney Rule properly, or are you just getting the guy you want? And it's sort of like they're ignoring the Rooney Rule.
Well, I don't know. I mean, because a lot of them are in the process of doing what they're doing. I mean, I know some people seem to be upset with the Gruden situation. Right. And you know, and I mean, but you're also talking about a very unusual situation, okay? Al Davis had a falling out with John Gruden. He basically traded him to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. You got the sense that his son Mark was not in favor of that, okay? John stayed in Tampa for a while, then eventually went to the booth. And I think Mark Davis looked at the fact that, you know, here was a coach that was – he didn't get the Raiders to the Super Bowl. For the most part, the team that he helped build got the Raiders to the Super Bowl in 2002, and then you wound up coaching against them and knowing every little dirty secret about him. So mm-hmm. – I think Mark Davis looks at that. And, you know, remember before Gruden got there, they went through some really awful stretches.
Yeah, that's right.
Then after Gruden left, and they did have the Super Bowl year with Bill Callahan, remember, they didn't make the playoffs again until last year. And this year, they failed to make them again. So I think of Mark Davis. Mark Davis is also probably thinking about the move to Las Vegas, which is coming up. There's a combination of a lot of different things here.
You know, one of the things you talk about Vegas, I was thinking about Vegas. They've gone through the first year, so they have one more year before they go to Vegas. Is that right?
Yeah.
Or is it two more years?
I don't remember where the stadium situation stands and all that. And, you know, when they're moving, especially, I mean, I have to double check. But, I mean, in essence, they're a lame duck franchise in the city of Oakland, but I don't think that's, you know, hurt them in terms of.
Well, I don't think so either. If you have Gruden in the, and Gruden's your new coach, you think they're not coming out to see him? Of course they're coming out to see him.
Oh, of course they are. Listen, I mean, listen, Coach Gruden is a good football coach. He worked his way up the rank. I mean, there are people almost making it feel like that John Gruden has had a longer career in television than he has in the National Football League. I think people forget how long he was in the NFL as an assistant and who he worked under and all that, and then his years in the NFL. So, you know, when you can be in, with two different franchises and take two different franchises to the playoffs, okay? I mean, there's only a handful of guys who've done three, and only Bill Parcells has done four, okay? But he led the Raiders and the Buccaneers to the playoffs more than once. I mean, there's a lot to be said for that.
Wow. You know, I could talk to you forever. I'm very excited about this week. Yeah, I'd like the Bills to win, but Jacksonville will win that one. I assume that New Orleans is going to win. I assume that the Rams are going to win, and I assume that Kansas City will win. So I'm thinking there's got to be an upset. It's probably going to come in the beginning of Saturday, but I've got to find an upset in the middle of that. Whatever, I got to get ready for the Patriots. And let me just go and tell you this. I love the Patriots. I have loved the Patriots since I was 5 years old. This team is not going to the Super Bowl, and I like this team, but they're not going to the Super Bowl, and I can feel it, and I feel like...
I don't get that sense.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I
go
don't
ahead.
Get that sense either, and listen, I do a lot of stuff with the Patriots, with John Rook and on their radio station and so on, and you kind of get that sense of trepidation as well from the fan base and so on, and I think it's because of the defense, and I think what they've done the last 3 weeks is, listen, Tom Brady's, I'll state the obvious, Tom Brady isn't getting any younger. Guess what? Anyone who is alive is not getting any younger, okay? and thank God for that. But, I mean, the numbers the last couple of weeks, they have turned to the running game. And that's the beauty of Belichick. We've seen Bill Belichick throw the ball 25 times in a row, and we've seen Bill Belichick run the ball 25 times in a row, okay? Right now, they're leaning on their running backs, in particular Deion Lewis, because some of the other running backs aren't able to stay healthy. That will toughen them up for the postseason. It keeps Brady fresher. It keeps their defense fresher. I think he realizes he still has some major defensive problems. You know, what got lost in the Pittsburgh game, the one that New England won, was just how easily Pittsburgh was able to move the football without Antonio Brown for most of the game. Okay? And Bill Belichick, I'm sure, I mean, you still see the Patriots, even during this, you know, 11-1 stretch, babe, give up these massive pass plays. I mean, the Juju Smith-Schuster play, which got Pittsburgh on, you know, on the doorstep, you know, just when New England looked like it had wrapped up. We saw a lot of big plays Miami made when they upset the Patriots on a Monday night. Even the Jets, they didn't score a touchdown last week, but they were able to do some big things. So there's a vulnerability to this Patriot defense that I think is still cause for concern.
I love talking with you. You know, I could forever, but I'm going to let you go because you have a million things to do. Russell, I love you. Have a wonderful new holiday and all that. And I can't wait to see the games this week.
I do too. I mean, I think they're going to be fun. And I think the novelty, I mean, think about it. I mentioned those four teams, Tennessee, Jacksonville, Buffalo, and the Rams, that have not been in the playoffs forever. And we're going to see all of them this weekend before we get to the top seeds. By the way, I guess 13 is a lucky number because the Patriots, Steelers, Eagles, and Minnesota are the top four seeds, and they're all 13-3, correct?
That sounds good, yes. I'll live with 13-3. I wish I could any time with them.
I'm sure all of them would like to be 16-3.
I'm looking forward to this. Russell, I love you. Thank you so much. I do appreciate that you come and visit me.
You got it, my dear.
You know, I don't want to say anything, but I'm glad I'm not shoveling snow. Now, for people who don't know, Florida State University is in the northern part of Florida, and it snowed there. How much did it snow, like 2 inches or something like that? I mean, understand this is Florida, you know, and I have to tell you, I got a friend up in Missouri, and it's like she sent me something the other day, and the weather, it was -9 at 9 o'clock in the morning. I can't very well tell her that I'm freezing to death and it's 48 degrees. You know, I can't very well say that. I said, oh, all right, I'll leave that alone for a little while. I love Russell. He gets everything right to the point, exactly where you want to do. That's all in the world I can think about that. Thank you for doing all of that. I do appreciate it. Let me just tell you a couple of things because I'm thinking about this. First of all, this Gruden thing, you know, he said, oh, he's going to Tampa. And I'm thinking to myself, it got real ugly when he was here. And I don't think they wanted him to come back. You know, now they can say whatever and all that stuff, but the fact is, I don't, Jerry, you don't think anything happened. I don't think Glazers would ever be interested because they got rid of him once and they don't need it again. And I like him. I would have loved him fine to be the Bucks head coach, but that's really not going to happen with the people that own that at all. And by the way, let me just do a couple of things. If my world is Rosen, Donaldson, and Josh Allen, I am going to die if that's what I have to deal with. If those are the three quarterbacks that I'm supposed to be looking at in the first round, Rosen, Donaldson, and what's the other guy's name, Josh Allen, I'm a little, and is it Donaldson who said it was Darnold? What an asshole. And first of all, I wouldn't take him. I'd take James Winston, as nuts as he can be. I would take him any day from those three guys. I'll live with James. I mean, not Tom Brady. I've got that. But if I have to live with that, I will. And don't buy the Gruden thing. If he's going there, that's fine. But I never thought that you could own a team or be part of a team. That's all I thought. But that would be good for him. And I'll tell you one thing. If I'm Gruden, I'm happy they're going to Vegas. Oh, it'll be incredible. And then my question started thinking, well, then I started talking about the Rays. And then I thought, do you think they go to Vegas? And I thought, well, why not? If they've got a hockey team and they've got a football team, and they got UNLV that they all love as a basketball team, then why in the heck wouldn't you have a baseball team there? And you know, it's just me. I'm just thinking about things. Anyway, by the way, I can't forget about this. Georgia and Alabama, I am truly looking forward to that. And I have to tell you, the teams were great. The overtime, it was wonderful. And as much as you want Alabama to be out of it, but they're always there. And you know what? I find it really, really hard that Alabama's not going to win this. And I'd rather have Georgia win it. But I have a feeling that somehow Alabama will come back and do it again because they're pissed off that they were number four, not number one to begin with. So I think we're going to see one hell of a game that's coming up on next Monday or so. And I can't wait for this weekend. I got a lot of things that are going on. I'm very excited about it. You know, I was going to tell you something. I always do this. Why don't I bring a pad when I'm watching TV? Because I'm too lazy to go and get one. And I have so many things to say that I'm just kind of... Did you see that thing in the other day in which the president said, my button is bigger than your button? I was like, doesn't he have other things to do? But I guess not. I mean, he's been doing that forever. I don't know why. But okay. I mean, I look at it and I go, my button is bigger than yours. And I'm like, now, if I'm that idiot North Korea, why would I put anything over here? All you have to do is bomb South Korea as soon as those people come in February. And by the way, we do have the Olympics coming up. I don't know about you, but, you know, do you have that thing where it has an Olympic channel, but it says you're supposed to fight? Is that going to be there all the time, or is that just like we have to pay $20 to get it? I really hate the cable people, don't you? And there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. You know what? Do you know what a Fire Stick is? Do you know how to make it work on my TV? Well, what do I have to do? Then I have to buy Netflix, which I have anyway. Then I have to get Amazon and Hulu and some other shit that I never heard of. But do you know, sorry, am I not supposed to say that? Oh, I don't care. It's me. Who cares about that? But anyway, there's all kinds of things there. And I'm thinking to myself, they're always cutting the cable, but where are they going? Like the other day I wanted to watch something. I couldn't get it because I didn't know where it was. I mean, it took me like a whole year to figure out how to get the, what's that thing, that ESPN thing that comes on your tablet? Well, then I tried to get Fox, and I thought, well, that's even more confusing. All right, I have to go now because, first of all, I have to put on 10 pounds of sweats. I got to put on jeans. This is unbelievable. I'm walking around, by the way, in my Whalers. Did you see my new Whalers shirt? I got a new Whalers shirt today. I can't give it up. I don't know why. You know, they've been gone for 20 years. And where are they going? Aren't they talking to somebody in Dallas or someplace? Yeah, I think that guy wants to get rid of him, the guy who took him to Raleigh. And I love the Whalers. I hope forever they will be the Whalers, no matter what. They can call them whatever they want to, but they need to be the Whalers. I have to go now, or Jerry's going to just tell me to be quiet. I'm the fabulous sports babe. That's what we do here, because after all, it is the Babe Cast.
If you know the babe at all, you'll know the show never ends. Follow her on Twitter at RealSportsBabe and subscribe to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. This has been the Fabulous Sports Babe on Radio Influence.
Chris Landry inviting you to join me for Landry Football Podcast every Tuesday and Thursday. We'll give you the coaching and scouting angle to the college and NFL game. Film breakdowns, scouting reports, X's and O's, the latest inside scoop, coaching search information. We've got it all for you. I'll take my experiences as a coach and a scout and bring it to you, the fan, to give you access to the best football information on the college and pro level. Join us at LandryFootball.com. And remember the Landry Football Podcast right here, as well as Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.